Praise God. We serve a God of miracles. Amen. Hallelujah. If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, we won't do very much review because we don't have time. We're getting too far into the series to do so. Father, help us this morning. Father, we've taken the time to be here. And Father, it's pointless just to play church and to go through the motions. Father, we see people that went through the motions when the word was available to them, and they didn't receive anything. And then, Father, we see people that when the word was available to them, they hungered, they thirsted after it. They were expecting and excited about it. And Father, they walked out changed. In fact, their whole life changed for forever. And so, Father, we know that as the word goes forth, it's the same word that was preached today that was preached when Jesus was here. It's the same word. Father, there's opportunity for all of us to have our lives so impacted, so changed today, that it changes the course of our life for forever. And so we come with that expectation. We come with that hunger. And Father, I know you're going to help me do my part. You're going to give me boldness and utterance. I've already asked you for it. And Father, I thank you that I'll speak as the oracles of God today. And Father, bullseyes will be hit. Words from heaven will be spoke. Father, there'll be things said that are so specific and so pertinent to each person's circumstance and situation and season of life that they're in, that it'll be a demonstration unto them, Father, of your realness, your goodness, and how this place is a safe place where people can come week after week, service after service, and actually hear from heaven concerning their lives. We don't take it lightly. We give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, of course, this is our third message in our series titled The Enemies of Faith. And in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And so the Bible tells us to fight the good fight of faith. And what do we know about faith? We know that faith is our answer. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says that we overcome by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says how we please God is through faith. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says that faith is how we quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Hallelujah. And Hebrews 6 and verse 12 says that faith is how we access the promises of God. And so we have to be in faith if we're going to receive from heaven. But notice that the Bible tells us that it's a fight of faith. Well, there's an enemy, there's an adversary, the Bible says, who works in this natural realm, who's the god of this world, that throws things against us, influences things, causes dust storms of circumstances and situations to be rise up in our lives out of nowhere to pressure us, to push us back, to keep us out, because he doesn't want us walking in those promises. But we have to be in faith to receive them, so we just might as well accept it. But we also have to accept that it is a fight. And you know, all the fights I've ever seen, you know, all the fights I've ever been in, which are only a few, and they've always been against something that was opposing you or resisting you, you know, trying to keep you out of something, trying to hinder you, trying to stop you, trying to make things worse for you. And so we see that's a thing. But here's the good news, that this fight has a predetermined outcome. Amen? And yeah, it's a struggle, it's a fight, but if we'll walk in the principles of faith, praise God, we overcome, right? And I told you that I am a little Hulkamaniac. Hulk Hogan, right? When I learned that wrestling was staged, it was a devastating day for me. I didn't know there was a predetermined winner. And so when I look back on it now, you know, there were so many times when Hulk Hogan would go down into the ring and he would be just beaten and bloodied and on the canvas, and the referee just has to slam his hand three times. One, two, and he gets right here, and right before he gets there, Hogan lifts up and his finger goes in the air. And his finger starts shaking, right? And then his whole body starts shaking. And he gets up and he's moving around the ring like this, right? And the guy's looking all afraid, and then Hogan wins. I didn't know that was already predetermined that he would win. And so as bad as it looked, if Hogan just walked out the script, he walks out the winner. that referee, if he would have just laid there and let him count to three, even though it was predetermined, he wouldn't have won. Well, the Bible says faith is how we overcome. And guess what? He gave us the script. He gave us the steps, the dance moves, the choreography that we need to walk out this victory, praise God. So yeah, it's a struggle. Yeah, there's times that things come against us and press against us and are in our way. But if we just walk it out, we will walk out of that arena, of that test, victorious. Praise God. Amen. And we'll just leg drop our problems and flying elbow our problems. And God, the referee, will 1, 2, 3, we win. Praise God. That's available to us. Praise the Lord. But we have to walk in faith. Go to James chapter 1 and verse 6. We have to be in faith to receive this. And look what James chapter 1 and verse 6. And again, remember who's saying this. This isn't some minister who just wants to put a cloak of bondage on you and fear and worry. No, this is a pastor who loves you enough to tell you how it has to be. I didn't write the book of James, and James wrote it, but James didn't author it. The Holy Ghost authored it. He only got it from God. But look what the Bible says when you're needing something from the Lord. Let him ask in faith. So he says, if you're going to get something from me, you better ask in faith. Now here's the characteristic of faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now, when you hear this from your pastor, it sounds so harsh, because religion will tell you and your thoughts will tell you, I've suffered long enough. I've been a good person. I've done my best. I deserve my breakthrough. I deserve my change. I've been struggling for so long. If God's loving, he's just going to do something for me. Well, he did do something for you. He gave you Jesus, and then he gave you his word to tell you how to navigate through this life victoriously. If that's not enough for you, then you better go find something else. Because that's what he's given you, and it's more than enough, by the way. Because the El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough, never, ever leaves us lacking. And this message of faith is enough for us to get by everything. But look what he says in verse 7. Let not that man, what the one that wavers, think that he'll receive anything from me. Do you see that? That God is telling us, wake up. If you're not in faith, stop expecting me to do something for you. I've told you in my word, and I'm not a liar, he says. I am bound to keep my word, that if you are going to be in doubt and unbelief, if you are going to navigate a life with fear and worry and anxiety and doubt and unbelief and not believing what he says and being double-minded, which we'll look at in a second, and waver, he says, stop expecting anything from me. It's not a free handout program. You have a part to play. God has a part. You have a part. Your part's faith. And he says, don't expect to receive anything. And then verse 8 says, for a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, what's he telling you about a waverer is a double-minded person? Well, what's double-minded? Well, I'll give you an example of double-minded. Pastor Mike preaches a sermon on healing. And you see in the Bible, it's God's will to heal you. You see in the Bible that God wants healing for you, that it's available to you. And then you actually see in the Bible that how to receive it. Your pastor shows you. And you get excited because you're sick. Symptoms are in your body. You're going through things you don't like. You don't feel good. And so you get excited because you hear the word. Yes, praise God, I can be healed. And your faith is in that message, in that word. And then you walk out of here and the symptoms get worse at nighttime. And you wake up in the morning, the symptoms are there. And all of a sudden that excitement turns to discouragement and frustration. And your words stop going from, I'm going to be healed, to I'll never be healed. It never changes for me. What are you? You're double-minded. One time you're set on healing. One time you're set on doubt and unbelief. Same thing with finances. Same thing with any circumstance that we see and are experiencing in our life. He said, if you're going to take that stance, don't expect to get any help from me. Come on. That's not your pastor being harsh. We see examples of it all throughout the Word where somebody got healed and Jesus said, as your faith did this, you get to receive this. In the Old Testament, we see the children of Israel who God offered them a promised land. They what? They decided to be double-minded. They were excited about it when the word came. And then when they saw the opposition, what? They believed the opposition. And what happened to them? They were kept out of the promise for 40 years. And they wandered in the wilderness. God didn't just say, you know what? I feel bad for you. You've been through a lot. You've been through 400 years of slavery in Egypt. Just go on. And no, God says, I am a God who is bound by my word. And my word says if you're going to receive of me, I need you acting in faith. Praise God. So we can't be double-minded. But yet here we are in this struggle that's called faith, this fight of faith. But notice the Bible said it's a good fight. Well, I've never been a part of any fight. If you lose a fight, I don't consider that a good fight. So I consider it a good fight because I know I can win. But in a fight, again, we have opposition. We have enemies. We have adversaries. We have opponents. And for months now, the Lord's been talking to me about, and the way he phrased it in my spirit, were these are enemies of faith. And these enemies of faith keep people out of my promises because what they do is they rise up and they're so loud and they're so real to people that they take their attention, their focus off the one thing that we're to have faith in, which is his word. Remember when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 and they were believing God for a baby? Well, there was nothing that could tell them as a 100-year-old and a 90-year-old woman that they could have a baby except for the word of God. Remember when Jesus said we're going to the other side and then they were in a hurricane in the middle of the water and the storm and the boat was rising with water and filling and began to sink? And that all that told them, the natural told them what? You can't have the other side. And the only thing there was to believe, it wasn't the sun they could believe, wasn't the calm water, it wasn't their skills as fishermen and sailors, because that was failing. The only thing they could have confidence in was that Jesus said it, praise God. And that's what we're to have our faith in. And so these enemies of faith that we're talking about rise up and are so real, so loud, so in your face, that they try to get your attention off of what God is saying and put your belief, put your expectation, put your thoughts on those things. Why? You become double-minded. What happens when you become double-minded? You don't receive. That's what he just told us. And so the enemies of faith, hallelujah, the enemies of faith are these things, and we talked about this first one, sight, last week. I'm just going to read these. What you see, what you hear, the feelings you have, the thoughts you're bombarded with, and what the calendar says. Because the calendar, what do I mean by that? Well, all these five things that God has been talking to me about for months, they testify loudly in your life that what God has said will not come to pass. Right? Now think about all of those. We looked at it last week. There's things that our eyeballs testify to us that are contrary to what God has said we can have. And we have a choice to believe what we see or to believe what he said. And we saw last week that these things we see, they're real as the day is long. We're not making them up. We're not seeing a mirage. We're not seeing some hocus-pocus fantasy magic. No, we're looking at the calculator, and the calculator's telling us we don't have enough money. We're looking at doctor's reports, and the doctor's reports are telling us you have this sickness, right? We're looking and watching our family go off astray or watching our business or watching whatever circumstance. We're seeing it with our eyes. And it's so loud and real. But we saw last week that what you see is not the tell-all or the final stamp on what you can have. That actually what you see at times is no indicator. Can you imagine what Abraham thought when God said you're going to have a baby, knowing what you have to do to get a baby in your 100? Every time he would look in the mirror, every time he would look at his 90-year-old bride, his eyeballs would say, this isn't happening. Isn't that what the storm did? The waves and the wind and the waves. They remember when Jesus told Peter to walk on the water, and he was walking on the water, and the waves and the wind were kicked up, and the Bible says, when Peter saw, he forgot that Jesus told him to come. And he put his faith in what he saw. Well, think about all the other ones. And we're going to talk about hearing today. Things that you hear can be so real to try to get you. How about thoughts that you're having? You ever been bombarded with thoughts that seem so real and they really weren't even real? Oh, come on, we all have. What about feelings? Oh, man, does our feelings get us in trouble as Christians? Woo! You know what the mark of a spiritual person is? One that's not given to their feelings. Up and down, up and down. The wind's blowing this way. I'm offended this week. I'm mad this week. I'm grumpy this week. I'm sad. I'm happy today. Zoom, zoom. Those people have trouble walking in faith. Because there's things you come across sometimes that make your feelings and give you feelings of hurt, give you feelings of fear, give you feelings of worry. Can't be a person of feelings. And we'll look at that this series. And then what about time? Wouldn't the calendar have testified against Abraham? How many years has God told you this is going to happen and you keep getting older? Sarah keeps getting older. It keeps getting less likely naturally that you're going to receive, right? But the calendar was a lie. It didn't matter. Doesn't matter what the calendar says. It only matters what God has said. And so I'm pointing these things out to show you these things are real. You are really seeing these things. You are really hearing these things that are true. You are really having these thoughts, these feelings, and the calendar is really testifying. Months are going by, weeks go by, years go by, and none of it means a thing. If God has told you something different, that's all that matters, and that's what you need to have your faith in. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go with me to Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. The first thing I want to show you, just to start this right off the bat, is just like sight, we saw with sight, that yes, you can see things that are really there. When the children of Israel struggled, why did they struggle? God told them they could have the promised land, didn't he? God told them they could have the promised land and that they could walk into the promised land. And he told them that this was theirs. And what? They saw the cities. They saw there was walls. They saw that people already occupied it. What they were seeing was true. And what they saw, praise God, what they saw was real. It wasn't fake. But their eyeballs told them, and they believed their eyeballs more than what God said. God said, it was yours. I don't care what the walls are saying. Well, just like sight, we saw that you can see things and it doesn't matter. Even though you're seeing them, that doesn't determine the outcome. Well, it's the same with hearing. And I want to show you this morning that you can hear things. And things can come across your ears that are factual things that are happening or going on in life. And that if you're not careful with what you hear, your faith will go in the direction of what you're hearing in those circumstances rather than what the Word is saying. And you can't afford that. But I want to show you that even though you hear these things that are factually there, it's not an indicator of whether or not you can have what God has said you can have. What are we doing? We're exposing a new enemy today, the enemy of hearing. Mark chapter 5 and verse 22 says this, "And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed and that she will live." Verse 24 says, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." So a man came to Jesus and said, "My daughter's about to die. Will you come and minister to her?" Well, on his way there, he runs into the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years, and so he ministers to her. Some time goes by. That's what this portion of scripture that we're going to skip talks about. And go to verse 34. This is at the end of when he's ministering. He's on his way to Jairus' house to minister to his little girl who's about to die. He runs into this woman. This is the end of this encounter with this woman in verse 34. He said unto her, this is the woman that met him on the way to Jairus' house, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague." While Jesus spoke these words to that woman, now remember, he's got Jairus with him. He's on his way to heal his daughter. He runs into this woman with the issue of blood, deals with her. Jairus is still here. Time goes by, which when someone's about to die, time is important. And Jesus ministers to this woman. And so he's still got his mission. I'm going to heal Jairus' daughter. But while he yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house. So somebody from Jairus' house came and met him. Said, "Jairus, your daughter has died. Don't trouble the master any further." Well, what I mean, this would have obviously given feelings and thoughts, but the very first thing this would have triggered, the first enemy this would have triggered, would have been the enemy of hearing. Because now Jesus is hearing, and Jairus, who we see later on, see, when you know some things about the Word skillfully, we know that God cannot just do whatever God wants to do whenever God wants to do it. That when Jesus actually gets to Jairus' house, he needs mom and dad in the room, and Jesus actually kicked everybody else out of the room that were speaking and acting in doubt and unbelief. Why? That's not an atmosphere for a miracle. If you're expecting a miracle and you're walking around dooming and glooming and moaning and groaning and griping and complaining, you are not setting up an atmosphere for a miracle. You know what the atmosphere for a miracle is? Abraham. The Bible says he was strengthened in faith as he gave glory to God. God told him he could have something. Everything else testified against it. What he heard, what he saw, what he was feeling, what he thought, the calendar. And he walked around saying, what? Father, thank you. I'm having a baby. I'm having a baby. Glory to God. Father, you're bigger than natural. You're bigger than what people say. You're bigger than what I see. And what happened? A miracle happened. And so we know that Jesus can't just do whatever he wants, so he needs Jairus in faith, and Jesus also has to stand in faith. And now you would think to yourself, well, he's Jesus. He automatically can save. No. The Bible says that when Jesus came to earth, he laid aside his deity and became a man. Was he still God on the earth? Yes. But he laid aside that privilege. Why do you think Jesus didn't do one miracle till he was 30 years old, right? And he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and then he had the power to go do the miracles for the first 29 years of his life. Never did any miracles. Why? He's just a man like we are. Amen. I know it's hard for some people to believe, and people will kick against it, but that's what the Bible says. He laid aside his deity. And the Bible says that Jesus was in all points tempted as we are. So that would mean that Jesus would be tempted to hear something and to get into doubt and unbelief. Because if I'm going to minister someone and the sick, and now it's increased to worse, and I hear it's gotten worse, that's going to be a temptation to believe what I'm hearing. That's true. That's factual, right? So Jesus would have had that temptation, and Jairus would have had that temptation. So they're hearing something. That's what? Contrary to what Jesus already intended and what the Word of God already intended, which was what? Go and raise her up. Well, verse 36, I love this. As soon as Jesus heard, oh my gosh, if we would act like him. If we would deal with these things as soon as we see them, as soon as we hear them, as soon as we start to feel contrary, as soon as the thought rips in our mind, if we would deal with it, but see, we don't deal with it and it gets in us. And it takes root and then it grows. But Jesus said, I cannot let what I'm hearing grow in me. And I cannot let it grow in Jairus because I can't just go heal his daughter. He needs to be there with his faith too. Amen? If Jesus didn't need Jairus, it wouldn't have mattered. He'd have got to the house and said, Jairus, mom, dad, get out of the house. I'm to take care of this. He needed. See, we have this wrong idea about God. He can just do whatever he wants. And what it does is it squashes the message of faith. Because if God can just do whatever he wants, we don't need faith. And we absolutely need faith. And we need to see it skillfully and truthfully. And so as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, now what was the word? What he heard was 100% factual. The little girl really had died. He heard that. It was true. It wasn't some false lie. But again, you're going to see that just because you hear it and what you're hearing is factual, it's not an indicator of whether or not you can have what God's will is for you. So as soon as Jesus heard the word that was contrary, even though it was factual, contrary to what he was going to do, he said unto the ruler, he turned right to Jairus and took care of it, said, be not afraid, only believe. What's he saying? I don't care what you just heard. I don't care that what you just heard is actually what's going on at your house. Only believe in what I told you I was going to do. Most Christians can't step over that. Why? We're sense people. Everything in our senses, we believe what our senses say. And nobody's telling you to deny what your senses are saying, but we are telling you, do not put your faith in what your senses are saying. Put your faith in what the Word is saying. Be not afraid, only believe. The Message Bible says this. Listen to what the Message Bible says. Don't listen to them. But it's factual. I don't care. Don't listen to them. Yeah, but it's factual that this is going on in my body. Stop talking and having everybody tell you how bad it is and what's going to happen and what happened to them and what happened to grandma. Don't listen to them. Stop listening to the financial reports over and over again. That's what Jesus said. Don't listen to them. Just listen to me. I know what you heard, Jairus, is true. It happened. But it doesn't matter. I already have, my will's higher than what you're hearing. I remember I've told this story so many times, but it's such an indicator of hearing and how it can testify against me. You know that this building was originally supposed to have a sprinkler system. Now, we didn't know that till we started construction on it. And then they told us that, well, you know, the building inspector came and said, I'm sorry, but the building this size, square footage, and the amount of people, you have to have a sprinkler system. Well, I'm all fine with you all getting wet if a fire breaks out. But the fire inspector, we don't have sprinklers in here. The fire inspector, the building code inspector who inspected it, the contractor, and the architect of this project said it is so ridiculous that a building this size, with how close the exits are and how many exits there are, that you would need to have a sprinkler system. He said the people that put these rules in place are not people that build and know very much. They're just, they think things, you know, and just say, and we see that a lot of times, you know. Don't get me started on some of the stupid hunting laws they have for kids and things that people say. And things, you know, people just, they don't even hunt, they aren't even around it and don't even know things, they just, they make laws, and this happens with a lot of things, and this is what happened with this building. And, well, we had already started building, so we're going to have to do that. Well, we had already gotten the funding and was already believing God way out on a limb for what that monthly payment was going to be. And they said, I'm sorry, Pastor Mike, we can't avoid it, we got to have it. Well, it started around, I think it was like around 30, 40,000 project, and it just kept rising and rising and rising because of where we had to get the water. We had to go underneath the ground across the road and cut into that and get into the water supply over there to cut it, and it was just became a big to-do, and it was going up and up and up and up and up. And I said, there's no way we can get out of this. I said, well, we'll write a, I don't know if it was a provision or something, the architect wrote it, the building inspector wrote it, and the contractor wrote it and said, this is the building, it's ridiculous, this is why, here's the exits. And the courts rejected it and said, nope, you have to do it. So, okay, we tried that natural channel. So I said, I didn't know what to do, you know. I went to God. I said, Father, I don't have a problem believing for an extra $100,000. If we have to do that, we'll do that. But what do you want me to do? Because I found that when I find out what he wants to do, it works. Yeah. Finding out his will is half the battle, you know. Just knowing what he wants, then you can have faith in it. I said, if you want me to believe for the money, or do you want me to believe that we won't have to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. Pastor Mikey's flesh and mind wanted God to say to believe for the money. Because to me, the $100,000 was way less of a miracle than having the courts all of a sudden in the short time that we had, because they got to a point where they're putting up drywall and ceilings. They have to get these sprinklers in. There's only so much they can do, because I told them, I said, just hold off, do all the work you can around it, and we're just going to hold off. And so I went to God with it. What do I do, Father? And I was hoping he'd say, believe for the money, because that was easier on my mind and my flesh. Way easier on my mind and my flesh. Because my mind thought, we have a short period of time. Why are the courts going to change this issue of all issues? It's like they're not bringing it to the court's attention and revoting on this because of us. They just turned us down. How's that going to happen? And he told me specifically, he said, I want you to believe that you'll never have to put a sprinkler system in. Well, it took me a little bit to grasp that, you know, and then to get into his word. And I got into, I'll just tell you how I did it. He tells me something that to me, now again, they're telling me, the pros are telling me, it's never going to happen. You have to have a sprinkler system. It's not going to change. I would call the building inspector every couple days. Hey, Gary, anything changed? I'm sorry, Pastor Mike, you got to put that sprinkler system. Okay, we'll just keep working and working. And the building guy would call me, Jay Ecker, you know, that built the building. He'd say, Pastor Mike, we're getting close to the point where we're going to have to halt construction if you won't let us put this sprinkler system in. I said, just hold off. Just do anything you can around that. And if you'll go into our mechanical room outside these doors, you'll see that they started a sprinkler system, and I told them to stop it. And so they're telling me no, and I check in all the time, you know, and I'm hearing these things. And it's a heavy load for my mind. I'm like, oh, I would rather believe for the money. And I wasn't in faith. I thought, this can't happen. That was my thoughts. My words were, this can't happen. But I knew what God had said, so it's like, okay, I have a choice now. I can go by what I think, by what I hear, by what I feel, by what I'm seeing, or I can go by what you're saying, so I better wrap my mind around what you're saying, and I better get into faith with what you're saying. Well, I knew it would be a miracle, so I started looking at all the miracles God did in the Bible. And I would say, if you parted the Red Sea, you can make it so we don't have to have a sprinkler. If you save someone from getting eaten by the lions, you can make it so we don't have to have a sprinkler. Yeah, if you can keep people from burning up in a fire that's turned up 7 times hotter, you can surely make it so we don't have to have a sprinkler system. And my faith, because it wasn't enough that God said it, I had to believe it. And so I started seeing all these miracles. I got so turned on by the power of God, I just start confessing every day, we're not having a sprinkler system. We're not having a sprinkler system. And I never told the building guys that, never said that. I just kept telling them, hold off, hold off, hold off. I'd keep calling them, Do we still have to have that thing? Because I'm just waiting any day for them to tell them we don't. He says, oh, we got to have it. They're getting annoyed with me now because they know, you know, they're going off a different perspective than I have. And every day I'm confessing, Father, I thank you. We're not having a sprinkler system. You said it. This is easy for you, Father. Now I'm in faith. I'm fully expecting. Well, I get a text message one day from Jay Eckert. He says, Pastor Mike, you're not going to believe this. I bet I will. So I'm thinking, I bet you I will believe it. Pastor Mike, you're not going to believe this. They just passed a new law, changed the whole law, and so the building your size and the occupancy, you do not have to have a sprinkler system. Praise God. But my point is, I don't know a thing about buildings. I don't know a thing about code. I don't know a thing about construction. And the pros are telling me, and my ears are hearing what the facts are, but God has said, I don't care what the facts are. I'm telling you a different route. Get your faith in that. And what I heard was not the indicator of what happened. And so what you're hearing right now may not be the indicator of what's to come for you if God says something different. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because of this, it is vital. I want to show you Mark 4, verse 24. It is vital for you that you protect your hearing. Why? Because, we'll show you in a second here, why it's so important. Jesus said unto them, take heed, or be careful what you're hearing. Do you see that? Jesus says right off the bat, this verse is warning, 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 warning. Be careful what you're listening to. Well, why would that be a thing? Well, if you go to Romans 10 and verse 17, we know the drill here. Romans 10 and verse 17. You know, when I went through that, what the doctors labeled and told me in my ears heard, an incurable chronic sickness for 2 straight years, I went and had all the tests done, went and did all the fancy tests, all the specialists for the different parts that were being affected in my body. And every single one of them came back, we don't know what's wrong with you. We have no medicine to help you. We have no answer for you. We've had other people experience this before, and they've never been cured from it. That's what I was told over and over. And let me tell you something. When you have people that know what they're talking about and are doing the tests and you're spending the money and they're telling you and your ears are hearing things like incurable, impossible, no help and no hope, it's kind of like Lord telling me, hey, you're not going to have a sprinkler system. When I hear those things, that's a heavy blow to me. Right? Because naturally, you want to gravitate towards what your senses are telling you. And my hearing was telling me, I'm never going to be cured. I'm never going to be free. But the great thing was, that's not what God was saying. So I had to choose, what am I going to constantly replay over and over again? What am I going to hear over and over again? So what did I do? Just heard about healing over and over again. And after 2 years, miracle came, praise God. And I don't have any symptoms at all anymore with it. I'm gone. It was hell on earth for 2 years. And I'm free from it, praise God. Romans 10, 17, why do we have to protect our hearing? Look at this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. But notice this, before you could stop at the comma and look at a principle. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Why do some little kids, you know, at the heart of every little kid is innocence, is a joyfulness, is an excitement. But why can some little kids be so gripped with self-deprecation and just against themselves and feel worthless? Because they have awful parents and people around them that tell them over and over again, you're nobody, you're nothing, you're worthless. Well, they've heard it over and over again. So guess what? Faith comes by hearing. So they hear something over and over again, guess what they believe? Come on. My kids think I am like awesome. Why? I tell them all the time. If I throw a perfect spiral to Caleb and say, well, Dad, it was a good spiral, I say, what do you expect? I'm Dad. And I say that over and over and over and over. Don't knock me off my high horse ego with my children. Just let me stay there. I'm enjoying this. Because it probably won't last forever. But they hear it over and over again. I tell them constantly, I can do that. Oh, that's not a problem for me. Caleb will bring something to me that looks so close. So what? Do that in my sleep. whether I can or not. That's what I'm telling them, you know. And so they just have this probably unrealistic picture of who their dad is, you know. And but look at this. Faith is formed by hearing. Well, if you go back to Mark chapter 5, we won't turn that. I'm just going to read this for time's sake. In Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood, the first thing that got that ball rolling is the Bible says, when she heard of Jesus. Here she was, 12 years, stayed at home, sick in her body. What got her out of that house to walk through the crowd and press through that? She heard something about a healer that's a miracle worker, that doesn't matter what the condition is, he's healing these things that are impossible. Faith came, praise God. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 15, it talks about how the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word, that they came to hear the word and to be healed. What preceded their healing? Hearing preceded their healing. Flip over to Acts 14 and verse 8. Faith comes by hearing. You better understand that. That's why we got to protect our hearing, because we got to be careful what we're believing. Acts 14. I got to the point on those conversations with the building inspector and the architect and the contractor that I didn't want to hear anything else. I would just call them. This is so rude. People have talked to me before, say, man, you get off the phone fast. So you just, oh, we're done. I don't know. Just hit the red button where it's over with. I would call them. I don't want to hear anything anymore. I protect what I'm hearing. I'd say, do we still have to have the sprinkler system? And I knew that they were going to go into this thing of how they're not going to change it. And all I would hear them say is, yes. I'd say, okay, thanks, bye. Click. I don't want to hear anything else because my face is somewhere else. I'm protecting what I hear. Protecting what I hear. Acts 14. And there sat a man, verse 8, at Lystra, impotent in his feet, couldn't walk, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never walked. The same heard Paul speak. Well, what's Paul preaching? The gospel. What's in the gospel? The message of healing. You can't separate God from healing. One of the major things God did when he manifested himself as a human being in Jesus was heal people. So the gospel message, you can't leave out healing. You can't leave out provision. It was all throughout Jesus' ministry. The same heard Paul speak, who Paul, steadfastly beholding him or looking at him, perceiving, Paul all of a sudden recognized, this guy has faith to be healed. So I guess to be healed, you have to have faith to be healed. Well, how do you get faith to be healed? You back up to the hearing. So Paul's preaching, the guy's hearing it, and now faith is rising up, and now Paul says, okay, now he has faith to be healed, and he ended up getting healed, right? What am I trying to show you? The way to get faith is through hearing, but the problem with that is it can be the wrong way or it can be the right way, right? Remember my financial testimony. What did I do? I was completely out of faith, doubt and unbelief. Told to quit my job, $2,000 short a month to start the church. No salary. That's what God said to do. Well, I was doubting, unbelieving, worried, fearful. Well, what did I do? I decided, well, I need faith. I better start hearing. So I started hearing about prosperity. I started hearing about supply. I started hearing about abundance. All I kept hearing. Then I had faith. And then all of a sudden, $2,000 a month went from being a big mountain to a little pebble to me. And it was just like, kick it, get out of my way. Praise God. That's how you're going to do these things. If you listen to me, you'll get some help. But it can be in the wrong way as well. And I want to caution you about being careful what you listen to. But not only be careful what you're listening to, be careful who you're listening to. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. I'm amazed. Don't take this the wrong way. This is not me turning into your dad and telling you I am so wonderful, like I do with my kids. This is just the truth of the word. I'm amazed at times people that go through stuff and they've struggled for a while and say, I didn't know anything about this. I don't know if people think I just know everything. I don't. I only know what God shows me, which is not very much a lot of times in people's lives. And I like it that way, by the way. I don't want to know everything. I don't want to be nosy and lord over people's lives. But anyways, and they'll tell me, they're struggling, yeah, I talked to so-and-so, and every bit of the sarcastic nature in me, I'm holding it back. And just, it's like, you know, that that bull that's ready to come out of the gate, and that gate, you're just holding that bull back. He's ready. That's what my sarcasm is like. It's just, it's so natural and easy for me to just quick-witted, bam, 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 sarcasm. And I want to say, what in the world gave you the idea to talk to them about your problem? What do they have to offer you to get you to the other side? Now, what am I talking about? Because what do they hear? They talk to the person, and that person gives them doom and gloom reports. Oh, you better watch out. Oh, wow, that's so terrible that you're going there. Wow, that's something I never heard before. And their faith is in that, and they stay right there. Or you can call the one that God has put in your life specifically, who's had gone through things to show you how to walk out your problem, who will sit there and pump you so full of faith that you'll leave one conversation with me ready to run through a stinking wall. Well, what does the Bible say about this? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, what's that, the advice, the hearing of the ungodly. Now, people say, I don't go to ungodly people, I go to Christians. Ungodly counsel is any counsel that's outside the Bible. He didn't say, blessed are those who walk not in the uncounsel of the sinner. He says, just the ungodly. Unfortunately, Christians can open their mouth and speak very ungodly things. Well, what's ungodly? Well, you should be worried about that. That's ungodly advice. Well, I don't know what you're going to do about that. That's ungodly, because God has the answer. He says, blessed is the person that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight, you could say his hearing, is in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord. What's he saying? I'm not seeking out ungodly counsel. I'm seeking out godly counsel, which is the word. This is what your pastor's going to give you. And in that word, he meditates, puts his attention, his focus, his mind. His gaze is fixed on that. His hearing is everything is fixed on that. In his law, he does meditate day and night, and he shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in the season. His leaf shall not wither. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. What's that? Someone, the difference between hearing the wrong thing and hearing the right thing, your prosperity. Glory to God. Listen to what that says in the Amplified about blessed is the man. Happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly. Here we go. Following their advice, their plans and purposes. I remember one time someone was talking to somebody about relationship advice, and I just, inside me saying, why would you talk to them about relationship advice? They've only had terrible relationships their whole life. I'm being mean. Why would you go to them and ask them for relationship advice when they can't get it right themselves? And then they tell you things and you hear it, and it's wrong, and you're, what, you're following the advice, not following their advice, their plans, their purposes, nor stands submissive and active in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. Go to Acts 21. We're almost done. Acts 21 and verse 10. Are you getting anything? Amen. Praise God. Now, before you take the thoughts of the devil and think, well, who do you think you are? You think you're just the know-it-all? No. When you come to me, I don't tell you what Pastor Mike thinks. I don't tell you my opinions. We go to what the Bible says. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the matter is, all I am is a professional plagiarizer. I'm a parrot. I just repeat what he says. I don't come up with this great advice on my own. I just hide behind this thing. I just walk out the script. If I can get you to walk out the script, I can get you to walk out victory. Acts 21 and verse 10. And we tarried there, waited there many days. There came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Now this is a prophet of God. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle. So Paul has a belt. Agabus comes, the prophet, rips out Paul's belt. And then he bound his own hands and feet. So Agabus comes up to Paul, takes Paul's belt, and ties his own hands and feet with Paul's belt. He's demonstrating showing what he's seeing in the spirit, in the natural. Why did he do that? Then he said the Holy Ghost, verse 11. So the prophet's just repeating what God is saying. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands and feet. So Agabus is seeing in the spirit that when Paul goes to Jerusalem, the Jews are going to take him and they're going to bind him or arrest him or take him captive. And so he's acting out or demonstrating by the spirit what he saw. So he goes and takes Paul's belt, Agabus ties his own hands and feet, and he says, the Holy Ghost has testified, whoever owns this girdle, well, he showed who owned it by taking it off of Paul. He says, when he gets to Jerusalem, this is what's going to happen to him. Well, before even going into this, if you go back and look at Paul's ministry, God already told Paul, you're going to Jerusalem. My will is for you to go to Jerusalem. Now, what do we know about God's will? That God's will at times can seem hard, can seem tough, can seem like it doesn't make sense, but it's where the blessing is. It's where the protection is. It's where the help is. It's where the prosperity is. It's where the healing is. So Paul is endeavoring to do the will of God. He already knows, I'm going to Jerusalem. I have to go to Jerusalem. This is what God has told me. Well, the prophet is picking that up. Now, the prophet's not picking that up to make people worried, but to make people pray. To get people praying for Paul, making power available to him, for him, amen? And so here, he's picking this up in the spirit that Paul's about to go to Jerusalem and get arrested. Agabus didn't say that Paul shouldn't go. He's just saying, this is what's going to happen. Amen? And look at this. And when we heard these things, verse 12, the other disciples, we and they of that place besought him or begged him, don't go to Jerusalem. Well, why? They heard something factual. They knew Paul's will was to go to Jerusalem. They stepped out of the boundaries of the word and what? Started believing what they heard and let it get into them. Now, they took that here the wrong way, but thank God. Now, think if you're Paul and you hear this prophecy, but then you have everybody that loves you around you telling you, Paul, don't go. Don't go. You're going to be arrested. There's evil that's going to befall you. It's not going to be good. Can you imagine what would get into Paul if he would incline his ear to that? And how many of us sit down at the dinner table of doubt and unbelief and listen to loved ones and friends and coworkers tell us how bad it is, how it's never going to change, how we're never getting out of it. And we put ourselves under the teaching and the instruction of people that are speaking anti-Bible, anti-faith. And I love people that struggle. They struggle with depression and sadness, and you listen to the music they listen to. And it's doom and gloom. People say, oh, it's just music. It's going in your ears. It's going in your ears. And talking about sadness all the time and loneliness all the time. If you don't think, well, then you just don't believe what Jesus said. He said, you better be careful what you're hearing. Why does our flesh, and let's be honest, why does our flesh like to gravitate towards things that don't help us? Because our flesh is influenced by the devil. Because when you're sad, your flesh likes to hear the sad songs. Come on. When you're bitter, your flesh loves to talk bad about other people. Even though it's bad for you, it doesn't help you. But your flesh loves to do it. Your flesh loves ignoring and giving people the cold shoulder. Oh, your flesh loves it. It feels so good. It's not good for you. You have to understand that. In our hearing, misery loves company. Offended people gather, talk about offended things. People that are going through stuff and people are struggling, they seek out other people that are struggling. And they fellowship over that, and that's your reward. That's the blessing you're going to get, is the comfort to your flesh, not me. I want to go and hear something that somebody's telling me, you're doing it wrong, this is the right way to do it, this is what's available to you, I don't care what you're feeling, I don't care what you're seeing, I don't care what you're hearing, this is what God has said, are you going to stand your ground or not? That's what I want to hear. Pull me up, give me a faith pep talk, praise God. Don't tell me how bad it is, I already know how bad it is. Praise God. Thank God Paul didn't let that get into his mind, and I'll just give you this story to tell you this example. Years ago, I was going through some stuff medically, and it was showing up in the natural. And you know, I made the mistake of kind of searching that out. You know, sometimes that's wise to do, but you need to follow your heart on those things. And I found out that what I was dealing with could either be very severe or nothing at all. Well, I didn't have insurance at the time, and I want to caution people. Let me first say this: We need as faith people to get through our heads that going to the doctors and taking medicine is not wrong. Okay? I don't know where we get that idea. The devil tries to twist that. But how many people have you heard of in the news where their child needed medical emergency attention and help and they didn't do it because in the name of faith and the child died? It was foolishness. Faith is what causes people to receive. So if you have to take medicine, you take medicine in faith. Is it God's highest and best for no surgery, no medicine? Yes. But if you're not there with your faith, take your medicine in faith. I remember dealing with one lady who had an impossible condition. She was going through things and wanted to get off the medicine, but she knew in her heart, my faith's not there yet. So every time she'd take the medicine, 100% of that medicine, she'd say, I thank you, Father, someday I'm going to have to take it. Well, she kept believing in healing and reading healing and meditating and healing. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to her, okay, cut back down to 75% now. So she took away 25% of her medicine, took that in faith, down to 50, 25. You can get rid of your medicine now. But so many faith people, without their brains, chuck their medicine out the window or throw it down, flush it down the toilet or throw it away, and they're not ready yet. Medicine does not mean you're not in faith. Going to the doctor does not mean you're not in faith. You need to follow. I've had to talk people out of not getting surgery who's struggling, can hardly walk. I remember there's a lady from Allegheny. Her back was so messed up. Her back was so bad, and she, because she wanted the big miracle testimony of not having to do it. Well, I knew as her pastor, and I can't lord over her life, tell her what to do or not to do. That's not my job. I can tell her what the word says, but I knew in my spirit that she did not have faith for this, and she was going to struggle, and it was going to get worse if she didn't go get it done by the doctors. And so I, through the word, opened her eyes to some things, and she realized at the end of the phone call, she said, you know what, Pastor Mike? I've been in hope, and I want to not have surgery, but I've not been in faith. And I said, listen, do you have faith that the doctors can do this through the power of God and the help of God and the wisdom of God? Absolutely. I said, let's put our faith there. She did it, back completely fixed, came to me in tears thanking me. But the devil will tell you, you're wrong for taking medicine. You're wrong for going to the doctors. He's a liar. Paul told Timothy to do things medicine-wise to help him out. Luke was a doctor. God's not anti-medicine. God's not anti-doctors. So when I say this story, don't get into the ditch. This was all about an individual situation. I've had times where I knew I needed to go to the doctor. But I didn't have insurance, so I asked the Lord. I said, I don't know. If this is nothing, they're going to do a procedure and test on me. It's going to cost thousands of dollars that I don't have the money for. Well, what do you want me to do, Father? And he showed me clearly what you're experiencing is on the scale of it is no problem. There's nothing, no fear, nothing to be worried about. So I went, wasn't going to have it done, completely clear in my heart. And I got around somebody that, oh, I'll tell you what, I've learned my lesson. There's certain people, I don't tell them anything I'm going through because I can't afford to hear what's going to come out of their mouth. Yeah. Seems harsh, I know. There's things that were going on with Caleb. I mean, someday I'll tell the full story of the pregnancy and the birth. I mean, it's a miracle. It's some things that happen. And there are things that came across our ears and were told that nurses and doctors accidentally told in front of family members, and the family members looked at us shocked that we never said anything. Well, I said, that's the way it's going to go. You're going to keep not hearing things too from us. Because the look on your face, when the doctors told that, I can't have that look on your face and what you're about to tell me get into me. This is my counsel. Amen? And so I know it's good. Well, I get around the wrong person. I mentioned that I was having those symptoms. And oh, man, the vomit of doubt and unbelief just came flooding at me. Mike, you need to get this checked out. Mike, you can't mess around with this stuff. You better go get this looked at. You know this person happened this. And the more I heard it, the more I started thinking, oh, my gosh, I better get this checked out. Oh, my gosh, what if I do have that? What's happening? Faith is building in the wrong direction. So like the idiot I was, and sometimes still am, went to the doctor, got that expensive test done. It's a colonoscopy, if you're wondering. I'm just mad they didn't record me when I came out of that thing, because I guess I said some good stuff. Somebody's got to get on that, you know. You see those videos of people getting their teeth taken out or whatever, and those are fun to watch. I like those videos. So I had that test, had no insurance, so that test ain't free and it ain't cheap. And when you're where I was in life, I mean, $100 was a lot for me, you know. And I had that test done. Well, why? Because I put myself in the hearing in the wrong, listened to the wrong thing. And a test came back. Nope, this is what it is. It's absolutely nothing. Exactly what God already told me. But why did I change? Because of what I heard. Ladies and gentlemen, got to be careful what we're hearing. And remember, just because you're hearing it and it's factual, this has to be louder than that. Amen? We're going to pray in a second, but when I was in my office this morning, I was worshiping God, and sometimes I'll say it this way, but I'll say, Father, and I meant it with my heart. I said, is there anything you want to do today in today's service? I know I'm supposed to preach the word, but it just seems like, what is it, Father? And I was praying, and it came up clear in my spirit that he wants to heal back pain today. And so right now, don't wait. There's an anointing here, and I was instructed to do this right after service. If you're struggling with any back pain, the Bible says to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And just like Paul laid hands on people, and Peter laid hands on people, and Jesus laid hands on people, that power goes through. I don't have the power, but God does, and he does it through the laying on hands. If you're having any back pain, come forward right now. Don't wait. Don't hold up. Praise God. He knows what we need. So there's no sense of pretending like we don't need this. Jenny, would you pull up the scripture? I don't do this all the time unless prompted. Mark 16 and verse 18. Actually, go to verse 15. Jesus said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And look what he said. These signs. What are signs? Signs are something you can see. These signs shall follow the ones that believe. Now look what he said. People that will believe, these are the signs they're going to have. In my name, they'll cast out devils. In my name, they'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents and drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. Now look at the last one. Jesus said, the ones that believe, they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So what's one way we can get healing into a person's body? Is through the laying on of hands. And as I was worshiping God in my office, actually, it was in the bathroom. I wasn't going to the bathroom. But I'll bring my guitar in the bathroom because the acoustics are good. Man, I sound so good in the bathroom. And I put my guitar down. I just had that stir, and I just started worshiping him. I said, Father, I know there's something more you want to do. What is it? I want to heal back pain. I want to heal back pain through the laying on of hands. So your job up here now is just be in an attitude of worship. An expectancy. He's bigger than this back problem. Father, we thank you. Father, I know I'm not the healer, but you are. And Jesus, you told us to do this, so we just trust your word, regardless of how we feel or what we think. Jesus, you are the healer. And I thank you that as I lay hands on each and every one of these people, that your power, that anointing to heal that back problem will go through the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. And I thank you that it will drive out any sickness, any disease, any pain. Anything that's out of order will be put back in order. Anything that's out of place will be put back in place. And Father, we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, be free. In the name of Jesus, be free. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, be free. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, be free, Janice. Hallelujah. Is this for you or for Carl? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, for that healing power from the top to the bottom, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. Let's praise him for healing. If there's anyone else that needs it, come forward. Don't miss out. We'll have testimonies, praise God. Okay, Lord, why do you want me to say that? I was in a service in Allegheny, and the Lord called out heart conditions. And two people came forward and told me their heart conditions. We laid hands on them, and two people had testimonies within the next couple weeks of it happening. But after they had come up, I had said this. And I'm prompted to say this again because it applies here now. Whether or not we see it come to pass is going to be up to people in the seats. But my spirit was grieved when those two people came up, and they both received and were excited about it. But the Holy Ghost told me that there was more, that there was somebody else that needed that but didn't come forward. Well, afterwards, a lady came up that I had never met before, and she said, will you pray for my husband? I said, was that the man that was sitting in the back seat with you? She said, or in the back of the church with you? She said, yeah. I said, well, where is he? Well, he went out to the car. He's kind of shy and embarrassed, you know. And I said, pray for him for what? He's going through, and she named some serious heart condition. And there God called it out for help for that person. Well, I just prayed a prayer with her, but it wasn't like the prayer that he would have got coming up to get the anointing hands laid on him. So let's just close our eyes. If there's anyone here struggling with back pain, don't miss out. Don't miss out. Don't be afraid. I'll tell you what, being healed and walking in freedom, hallelujah, is going to feel much better than the devil telling you the uncomfort of walking up to the front of the church. I would rather have the anointing to heal my back. And you're here in a company of believers that are on your side. rooting for you. So if you're struggling with back pain and you're hesitant to come up, just come up. You watch what God's going to do for you. You're going to be so glad you did. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we thank you for that healing power. Thank you for that healing power. We can't make people come up. Hallelujah. But I know that we're not done. And I want to give people a chance for God to work on your heart. See, now why would you say that? That just puts you at danger of looking like you don't know what you're talking about. That's the point. I don't care about looking like I know what I'm talking about. I know what the Holy Ghost said to me and why he gave me that story. I'm telling you, there's an anointing to heal your back. Come forward, whoever you are, and receive the power of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That anointing is going to drive this out. Praise God. Father, you're so kind and merciful. We love you. Every bit of sickness, every bit of pain, every bit of discomfort, everything out of order, everything out of place, we command this body to be whole in Jesus' name. Hello, young lady. You ready to receive? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. From the top of her head, there's a chair behind you, top of your head, to the bottom of your feet, driving out. Father, a tangible anointing in her. Can I have your hands? Father, in the name of Jesus, bless her. Supernatural strength, Father. Supernatural strength in her body. And we thank you, Father, that she will experience it. This isn't just words. She will experience, Father. We thank you for her. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's just praise him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yep, you all go to that church. That church where people actually get healed. That church where people actually have change in their lives. That church. You're right, you go to that church. I've been to the other churches. I don't mean just in town. That's not what I'm saying. Other churches where nothing happens, but you go to that church. Praise God. Father, thank you. We give you the praise and the glory for it. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. And if you're up here, if you want to take your seats, you can. If you want to stay here, you can. Doesn't matter. But heads bowed and eyes closed. God's greatest desire isn't to heal your body. God's greatest desire is to give you salvation and eternal life. Thankfully, healing and all that stuff comes with that package deal. But the best thing you can do is receive salvation. And I'll tell you what, going to heaven and having that peace of mind, it's wonderful. And thankfully, God has given us his word that has shown us clearly how to get there. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to try to get there on our own good works, and our things we've done wrong can't keep us out. Jesus said, if you would believe on me, you would not perish but have everlasting life. And so, if you're here this morning or watching by live stream and you would say, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I think I would. I'm not sure. But you know what? I know I wouldn't go to heaven. And you want to receive Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We won't embarrass you or have you come forward or stand up or say anything on your own. This is just you calling on his name. That's a requirement, he said in Romans 10, to call on my name to be saved. You can't just want salvation. You can't just think it. You have to call on his name. And so with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're in this service and you've never done this, now if you've done this, don't let the devil tell you you're not saved. But if you're in this service and you've never asked Jesus into your heart and you want to receive him, again, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you lift your hand high in the air if you've never done it before? I'm talking about people who have never done this. If you've already prayed this, you can put your hand down. I want to encourage that person. You can put your hand down. That person has their hand up. I want to encourage you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody saw your hand but me. This will be comfort to you. You never have to pray this again. You are his. You made that commitment a couple of weeks ago. You meant it. He meant it. Don't you let the devil tell you anymore that you're not saved and not going to heaven. Don't you let him lie to you. You've accepted Jesus. You're his. I don't care if you had a bad week. I don't care. The devil told you you're not going to heaven. You're going to heaven. And if you need scriptures and verses to look at that, to back that up, to help you renew your mind, but you don't ever have to do that ever again. He loves you and cares about you. Just know that. Those are tormenting thoughts from the enemy that's trying to keep you out of enjoying your salvation. But is there anybody that's never done this before? Father, I don't see any hands. But if by chance there's somebody here that needs to receive Jesus or watching by live stream, now or in the future via the archive, I pray they would not pass from this life till they make Jesus the Lord of their life. And all that looks like, and all that sounds like is, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. I ask you to come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. If you'll pray that, he'll do his part. And I encourage you, There's so much that goes with it. I'd love to help you with it. Email me, give me a phone call. Or if you say, I need help with this, I need questions answered, call me, email me, whatever. I want to help you. But let's just stand to our feet if you're able. And let's just worship him before we go and thank him for what we received. I tell you, it's comforting to know that just because I hear it and it's factual doesn't mean it's the indicator. The word is the indicator. How freeing. Come on, how freeing that just because you see it and just because you hear it, it's not the indicator. You can still have different, even if you're seeing and hearing contrary. Thank you, Father. Love you so much. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget fellowship. Don't forget Wednesday night. We'll see you later. Love you. Appreciate you. You're dismissed.